Encourage you, if you will, to open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, the base of our lesson this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forgive your work and labor, or to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not only does a Hebrew writer talk about the faith of the Christian and the growth of the Christian in maturing in Christ in a spiritual aspect, but the things that we add to our life in serving God, as we gain knowledge of the Word of God, as we apply it to our life, as we grow over time, we become more grounded in the faith. And once we know the Word of God, and once that's in our heart, and once we are obeying, the fact is that one who gets to that point and then falls away, it is very hard to restore one back to the faith because something's happened. Something tragic has happened. And the Hebrew writer encourages us to understand that there is a danger of falling away. And there's a danger of falling away from the faith and never coming back. And so this morning, let's talk about these things that are expected of us as Christians here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Some things that are expected of us as we grow in Christ, and also some expectations that we have, not only expectations, but assurances we have of better things to come in our life when this life is over, in eternal life in heaven. But in the meanwhile, while we're on earth, while we're growing, while our faith is steady, while our hope increases, while our service to God grows, we have better things to enjoy here while we're Christians, because we are children of God. Number one is we have the forgiveness of sins. Number two, because we have the forgiveness of sins and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are in the family of God. What a blessing that is. So we have better things than the people of the world who refuse to obey God because our sins are forgiven. We're in the right relationship with God and we're in His family. So we are the sons and daughters of God in His family. And we have a Savior who knows everything about us, who knows everything that we can go through, and who feels everything and has passion for us and shows compassion to us. And the Father and the Son both bestowed mercy on us. So we have a lot of things that are better in this life as Christians than those around us in the world. We may not have as much money per se. There's nothing wrong with money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you seek money and it takes you away from God, then we're involved in worse things in life than it would have been if we had served God and made a living and been content with what we had so we could serve God faithfully than it would to have gone out and tried to better ourselves in worldly way and separate ourselves from God and lose our soul. So here in Hebrews chapter 6, there are some better things that are expected of you and I who are Christians. Better things that the faithful are expected to do in their life, and then better things that we have expectations of in this life and the life to come because we are Christians. Look at verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 6. He says, "Beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way." And so when we are saved, when we are baptized in Christ, better things are expected of us. Now, we are in a good condition. We're in the best condition we can be in because we are forgiven. But at that point, because we're forgiven and we're a child of God, better things are expected, and not only expected, but they are required of me and of you as Christians if we're going to walk in the plan of salvation and go to heaven. So we need to go toward that goal of doing better every day and doing the things that God asks us to do. Salvation is the reason that Christ came to this earth to save us from our sins. John 3:16, we know that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So salvation is the reason Jesus came to save men. And so we have that salvation in Christ. And so there are things that accompany that salvation in this life. And so Jesus died for us. Turn back, if you will, from the book of Hebrews to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And let's look at what Christ has done for us. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 8. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners," or yet sinners as some versions put it, "and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So salvation is why Jesus came to this earth, to save man from his sins, to give us a pathway to come to the Father and be in the right relationship with God and go to heaven. That's why He was sent to this earth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, Mary was told that she will bring forth a son that will save the world. He's the Savior of the world. So we can be thankful for that salvation that we have in Christ, but there are things that accompany that salvation, better things that are expected. So we must obey God in our life and do the things that accompany salvation, the better things that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Let's go back to that very quickly and look at those verses one more time. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, to reiterate what he talked about in our life, the expectations of things, better things. And so here we are as serving God and doing His will. The better things in Hebrews are there for us when we read these things and understand what they are for us. Verse 8, "Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." So Christ is the author of salvation, so there's expectations of us when we obtain that salvation through Jesus Christ. And so it involves obedience. So one of the better things that is found in our life as Christians as we go forward, as we're baptized, is obedience to God. Simply stated, if we don't obey God by faith, then we're going to fall away from being a faithful child of God, and we'll become an erring child of God, and we'll lose our soul if we don't come back and make a relationship right with God. So keeping ourselves right with God, obeying Him, is part of the process of doing better and growing. And one of the better things that we'll see in our own life and the life of others who are Christians is that we're doing better things because we're what? We're obeying God. Matter of fact, you can turn back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, and we see that obedience to God is not only required, but obedience to God involves doing the things that He asks us to do and doing the things in the way that He tells us to do them, and not following our own track in life, but following the things of God. Look to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now notice Jesus talks about the fact that there are going to be those who will profess to the fact that, "Have we not done many wonderful things? But to do a good thing in our sight, if it's not good in God's sight, then it's not a good thing that accompanies salvation, because it's contrary to what God wants us to do. So he has requirements. He has things for us to do. Better things in life is doing the things that God asks us to do in the way that he asks us to do them, and for the reason he tells us to do them. Look at Hebrews, Matthew chapter 7 again, and let's go back to verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And so, when you see the things that accompany salvation is that when we're baptized into Christ, the things that accompany our salvation is obedience to God, doing his will, his way. Not that we'll go out and say, Lord, look what we did, this good work, it's so good, but if we did it in a contrary manner from the way he instructs, or if we use God's will and his way through the church to do things that he didn't authorize the church to do, then we're not doing it according to his will, so we're doing bad things and not better things. And so to do the better things is obedience to God. Go back then to verse 23, says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So Hebrews talks about, in the writer that we read this morning in our Bible reading, Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 12, better things that accompany salvation. When we come to God to receive salvation of our sins, we've got to do it on his terms and go through the things he tells us to do, baptism included. And when we do those things, we receive the salvation that he promised. And to maintain that salvation, we have to do things his way. So what is the better things that's expected of me in my life? What are the better things that's expected of you in your life? Doing things God's way, according to his instructions. We can't just go out and do it any way we please, and we can't just go out and do anything we please. It has to be God's will in God's way. Let's go back to verse 24. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So there you go. Better things in salvation is the things we do as a Christian are based on the Word of God. Obedience to his will and his way, and we're rooted on the rock of salvation. On the firm salvation that'll never fail. But if we try to trust in our own ideas or the ideas of men or do things contrary to God and call it religion, then we're going to fail. The Bible tells us that. So the better things that are expected and required of you and I are doing the things that God requires of us. And then in verse 26 and 27 again, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, the salvation, when we're baptized into Christ and we're saved from our sins, it is expected of us to listen to God, to receive his instructions, to obey the things he asks, by faith, and we are doing the better things that's required of us when that happens. And when we do that, we're on the solid rock where we can stand in the straight and narrow way, serve God and do his will and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, in that last day. But if not, if we decide to do it our way, even though we've been baptized into Christ and it's not God's way, then what happened? We're like a man that built his house on the sand. And the rains came, it blew it away. And so we have no good foundation to stand on, and there's the danger then of falling away. Falling away and losing our salvation in Christ. And so it is possible then to understand in our life that God requires obedience, because those who do not obey him will be punished. Turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, and let's read just a few verses here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 7 through 9. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so, salvation in Christ comes from where by faith, hear the word of God, believe it, confess Christ, repent of our sins, and are baptized, we're saved from our sins. Then what's expected of us? Better things. What are those better things? To just wrap it up in a simple terms, obedience by faith to God, doing His will, and striving to do better every day in our life. But it is possible to miss out on salvation and never receive forgiveness of sins. An alien sinner who does not come to Christ and hear the word of God and believe it from the heart and be baptized, then they're separated from God, because that's why they're called alien sinners, because they're alienated from God because of sin. Remember last Sunday morning we talked about Isaiah 59:1-2. Your sins have separated you from God. And we understand that we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. So to have salvation, we come to God in obedience. And it is possible then for one to miss out on salvation by not coming to God to receive forgiveness through the blood of Christ and through baptism. And then it is possible to miss out on eternal salvation in heaven because we don't obey God and we don't serve Him faithfully, and we fall away and lose our soul. What a sad situation it is for me or for anyone that would get into the situation to have been baptized into Christ and have been doing the better things in Christ and then quit doing those things and turn away and not serve God and lose their soul. That's a sad situation. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 again, verses 1 through 8. We're not going to read all those, but in that it explains the fact that there may be those who will what? Fall away. And some who fall away who really know the Word of God, it may be hard to bring them back. And it may be impossible to bring some of them back. And what that does, they lose their salvation when they don't come back to Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Look at those verses. Beware, or some versions say, take care, brethren. This is Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Who are these that are departing from the living God? They are those that were brethren, those who had been baptized into Christ and added to the church. Take care, brethren, that you don't have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, what is it called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So this morning, when we think about Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, and the expectations that are of us as Christians from God and from other Christians to do His will, let us walk by faith and serve God, doing His will and obeying Him, because there's that danger of falling away. No one wants to fall away who is a faithful Christian, because we don't want to lose that home in heaven. And not only that, if we do fall away, then we're in a worse condition than we would have been if we had ever known the Word of God. Look with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. 2 Peter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Who were these people that got tangled up in sin again and fell away from God? They were those who had at one time had known salvation. They had known salvation, and they could have engaged in the better things of life by obeying God. But they're led away to the things of the world. And look what shape that person's in. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returned to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. And so, salvation is there. We reach out and get it, and we hold on to it by doing the will of God. The danger of falling is always there for everyone, No one is above it. No one is better than that. So we got to strive every day to keep the better things going in our life, reaping what God has to say out of His Word and applying it to our life, so we can do the better things that concerning salvation while we're walking in this life. Well, better things expected of me and you who are faithful, things that are not only expected but are required. The faithful will not only have salvation, but will also have better things in their life here, as I mentioned earlier, because we're doing the will of God. We'll have better things such as spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, and we'll have better things in our life such as usefulness. We'll be using our life in a way that's good in the service of God and in the church and toward others and teaching others and being a good example. We can use our life in all those ways. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6 again, and let's look at verse 1 and verse 7. Hebrews 6 verse 1, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We're not sinless now, but we can mature in Christ and do better every day. We can grow up and mature. Let us grow on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Then, look at verse 7. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those who by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. So there's some cultivating we're to do in our life. Applying the Word of God, letting it grow, serving Him, and we'll become useful then. We let the Word of God be in our life, and we grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So better things that are expected of us are obedience to God, maturing spiritually, desiring the Word of God so we can and will mature spiritually. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, this is a very familiar verse to everyone in this room probably. But let's read these verses again and just note how that better thing can be in our life when we obtain that salvation through Christ by faith and baptism. When we obey God, better things happen in our life because we get better every day, because we add to our life the strength that can be found through obeying the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control or temperance, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. And as we read these things, just take a minute and think about the good that comes from letting the Word of God live in our life and obeying it. Look what it does for us. Strength, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. Verse 7. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's good in adding strength to our life through obeying the principles that are found in the Word of God, because what it'll do, if these things are in you, verse 8, and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens if we don't abound? What happens if we're not fruitful? What happens if we are barren? What happens if we don't grow? We lose our salvation, don't we? So there's some things that are attached to salvation that are expected of us and required of us. Look at verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And then verse 11, what are we looking for? We're looking for better things after this life because we've been involved in our life with better things that pertain to God and righteousness and godliness and good things and obedience to Him by faith. We'll get those better things in the hereafter because look at verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After all, is that not what we're all looking for here today? A better place? A better home? No pain, no sorrow, no sin. No knife there. No crying. Nothing entereth that makes a lie, or it worketh evil, will enter it. To be around the throne of God forever and ever. So, as Christians today and tomorrow and ever how long we live, we need to be involved in doing the better things of God in obeying Him, so that we can see the better things in eternity. The worst things is eternal fire and hell, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, darkness and pain forever, where the worm dieth not. Don't want to go there. So we need to be involved in doing the better things that He requires of us. Well, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 9, again, we gain the spiritual fruits of righteousness in our life because we're doing better things. And we grow in Christ and we become His obedient brother and sister because He's our Savior. Look back to John chapter 15. John 15 talks about obeying God and bearing fruit and the importance of walking in the way that concerns salvation and guarantees salvation because we are by faith obeying God. Verse 1 of John chapter 15, and we'll go through verse 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now let's pause right there. What have we been talking about this morning? Salvation that comes through obedience to Christ by faith in baptism. We are cleansed from our sin through the blood of Christ. And then what do we do? Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus spoke to His apostles. He was telling them the way to go. When we obey the word of God by faith and are baptized, His blood washes us away. So we're cleansed from our sin. Then what do? We do the better things obeying God. Verse 4 of John 15. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So there you go. How are we going to do better things in life? We abide in God. We abide in His word. We abide and walk in the way that He asks us to do. Verse 5, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and he is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. So there, what's Hebrew writer talking about? Doing the better things of God so that we don't be cast out, so that we don't fall away. Jesus is talking about the same thing. Walk in the way, walk in the light, He's in the light. Follow Him and obtain salvation and bear fruit. It's about the better things of doing God's will. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, Jesus is talking to His apostles here, but the thing is, for us today, what Jesus said there when He talked to them, and what the Hebrew writer said there when he's talking to Christians, and what Paul and Peter and the others said, inspired men, concerning salvation, it all involves the better things of being saved, of walking in the way of God, doing better things in our life because we're doing the things of God, and we'll receive the better thing in eternity. So, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. We got a couple of minutes left. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Look back over there and we see that certainly work and love shown in ministering to the saints is a good work that we do. Think about the better things. Verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So the better things is obeying God, and it's not just worshiping on the Lord's Day, but that's part of it. It's not just reading the Bible and teaching others, but that's part of it. It's doing and ministering toward others and doing right toward them. And Jesus had something to say about that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. So salvation, things that accompany salvation, is actually obedience. Actually getting up and doing something. And so I need to learn that in my life. And if I do, I'll show work and love toward others. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And then verse 11, he says another thing that will happen is that I will realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Stick-tivitiness, steadfastness, the full assurance of hope. Don't give up on our hope of heaven, because it is assured if we come to Him by faith and are baptized into Christ and our sins are forgiven and we do the better things in the Word of God by obeying them by faith. He'll reward us in heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, notice this. Another thing that's expected of us is not being sluggish or slothful. Not being sluggish as a Christian. Not being on and off. Not saying, well, I don't have to go to the services today because I've got something better to do. There's nothing better to do than attend services. Slothful. Have you ever thought about how people become slothful in their life sometime? And just, I could do that. I worked in the grocery business for 50-something years. And in 1976, in Alabama, they called all the managers in Huntsville over at a big hotel, and they said, 1 month and a day, we're starting open on Sunday. And it'll be required for every employee in the company to work as ever of the company. And most reasonable people in management have enough sense to know that you rotate that schedule, because there are going to be people that want to be off to attend services. And all those years, if there were people that were members of the church and wanted to be off, they could be off to go to worship, and they could go in at 1:30 and work till 10 that night if they wanted to. There was an option. And if they told their employer that, I don't want to have to miss every Sunday, I know I may be required to work ever so often, then we may have to work ever so often. But how about that? Well, it's not just work. What about if we decide we just want to take a trip? Oh, the mountains look good in early spring. They're putting on their leaves. They're blooming. So we'll take off on a trip and not give any consideration to worshiping God. The better things in life as a Christian comes from putting God first. And if we go to the mountains, we make sure we have a place to worship. And if we take a job, that we work around that so that we don't miss all the time. In the 1970s, Dwayne Derrick worked third shift, second shift, and first shift, swing shift. And I was in the grocery business. I had to work some Sundays. And I was in the National Guard. I had to be gone some Sundays. Requirement. Or go to prison if you didn't serve the country back then, right? But the brethren here allowed Dwayne to preach when he could be here. And when he couldn't, I preached. We did that for 6 months. 6 months. It wasn't that I willfully wanted to do that, or that I willfully just went out and did that, but you got to provide for your family. But sometimes people let things get in their way and they forget the whole picture. That, yes, I have to be gone some to provide my family, but I need to be there when I can be there. And don't let it get to the point that I am never there. And so, realizing these things, don't be sluggish or slothful in our life. And so in that is that we can become sluggish and slothful when we're around the wrong people sometimes in society or in business. Or at work, or at play, or at school. And everyone else is doing this, or they're talking that way, or they're involved in these things, and the next thing you know, we become sluggish as a Christian, and the next thing you know, that Christian, he's drinking a beer with the old buddies over there. What did he do? Become sluggish. He's getting slothful in his life. I learned over the years, and that if you let people know up front that I don't drink alcoholic beverages, that they will learn to understand over time that you don't participate in that. Don't expect it. Even in the corporate world, they'll respect you if you'll take a stand. Because I know. So we need to understand there's expectations of us. I'm going to go over time again. But then Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19, there's that hope that we have as an anchor of the soul. We have that hope in obeying God. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. So very quickly, let's wrap this up. God has spoken in Hebrews chapter 6 and throughout His Word. He has provided through Jesus, the Son of God, a better way, a better covenant, a better plan, a better hope, a better assurance, and a better place for all those who faithfully obey Him. So the question for me this morning is, am I involved in the better things of life that can be mine as a faithful Christian, so that when this life is over, my hope will realize the reality of a better place in heaven? If you're here this morning and not a Christian, you need to be baptized. Or if you're here this morning and you need the prayers of the brethren to help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.